May we begin tonight's chasing. I will call it a chasing. Tonight, we're going to chase away the deceiver. And in order to do that, we must have a lot of prayer. So can we have not two by two, but some stand and pray strongly for the kingdom of God to come?
Amen?
Amen? So whosoever will, just please stand up and evoke the throne of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tonight, O Lord, we do worship you.
Amen.
The one who is on the throne.
Amen.
The one who holds all the power in his hand.
Amen.
We do declare to the evil one and the powers of darkness,
Amen.
Go away.
Amen.
Go away.
Amen.
You have no room, no ground, no opportunity, no chance in anything in this meeting.
Amen.
We give all the glory to God.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that your kingdom would increase.
Amen.
And not only increase, but propagate.
Amen.
And advance for your glory.
Amen.
We do collectively as one man give you all the glory.
Amen.
We do declare Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. So our fellowship tonight will be quite weighty. And quite sobering, so please exercise your spirit. Yeah, you have the outline there, I believe. And if you notice in Roman numeral 1, it's all biblical or scripture, biblical verses. You see that there? And so tonight, our reliance, as every message should be, is on the Word of God
Amen.
And the transmitting spirit.
Amen.
That's our reliance tonight. So that means that there is the need for your cooperation. And that means that, number one, you have to open your heart, open your spirit, open your mind, so that the Lord can penetrate the recesses of your being that's been held in bondage by the evil one for so many years. Even though you are not that old, I believe I might be the oldest one in here. I don't know. I guess I'm the oldest one in here. But actually, all of you are the same age as I am. We're all 6,000 years old with an old mind that needs to be renewed.
Amen.
It's been held captive by the evil one for so many years. For that amount of time in the Lord's eyes. We're not reckoning time according to, how old are you now, David? We're not reckoning time according to 18 years, David. You are 6,000 years old, according to 2 Peter chapter, 3, verse 8, or somewhere in there? No, not 3, 8. Yeah, 3, 8. No, where? Anyway. Somewhere there. I think I'm accurate. What is it? 2 Peter? What is it, Bobby? 2 Peter 3, I'm sorry? First? No, it's 2 Peter. 1,000 years is as a day 1,000 years. What is it? Matt, you have it? Okay. Read it, Matt. Read it, Matt. So it's not 3:8. It's what is it?
But do not let this one thing escape
you. Don't let it escape you. That means that in the Lord's eyes, the Lord reckons one day as 1,000 years is as a day. So we all have an old mind. This is the point. Don't get distracted. This is the point that we are old. Our mind is old, so we need to be renewed. Now, I would just like to add something from last night. One of the benefits of reading the Word, you know, you remember I got intimidated by our brother Robert. And I forgot my point. Well, actually, I forgot it. Then I looked at him, and then I really forgot it. not really. But anyhow, this is the point. When you read the Bible, you read the life studies, you read the up-to-date ministry, and the life studies really are the foundation to read the up-to-date ministry. It gives you an understanding. Then you get addicted. Everyone is addicted to something. Some things are not so sinful, but you're addicted. Magazines, schoolwork, chemistry, history. I like history. Sports, video games. We get addicted. And how about getting addicted to the life studies? I was telling Ted, and I want him to say something here in a second. I was telling him that now, it's like this. What's the next life study? What's going to happen? I'm like that now. I can't wait. So where did that addiction come from? It came from reading the life studies. So that's number one. Then I mentioned this last night. I said that it calms you. I'd like Ted to share a little something with you that he shared with me today that confirms this about George Mueller. Can you just do that real quick?
Yeah, actually I have it here.
Oh, okay. Here.
Let's see.
He shared this with me today, and I thought, oh, praise the Lord.
Where it is. Oh, here it is. Okay. All right. Yes, this is actually from a book called The Healthy Word. That's not the one that was given out, right?
No.
Okay. This is called The Healthy Word, and this is Brother Lee sharing about the effect of the Word. And this is a short paragraph. Okay, you know the verse that talks about exercise profits a little. Bodily exercise profits a little. Okay, so he referenced that verse, and then he went on to say, but our exercise unto godliness is profitable in all areas of our life. And then he gave this example. He says, exercise unto godliness is profitable for all things. After George Mueller was saved, he became a godly man. The first thing he did every morning was to read the Bible and pray, mingling his spirit with the reading of the Word. Mueller's practice to combine his prayer with his reading of the Word of God no doubt contributed to his long life.
Contributed to his long life.
How old was he, Willie?
He was 92. Just prior to his 93rd birthday, he went to be with the Lord.
Amen. The Word of God washes away our worries and anxiety and brings us joy.
Amen.
Practicing to receive the joy of God every day through reading and praying over the Word will help us to be healthy both spiritually and physically.
Amen. No stronger amen?
Amen.
You want to live long?
Amen.
Read the Bible.
Amen.
And use the openers, the life studies, and all of this ministry, the up-to-date ministry. You want to live a life without anxiety?
Amen.
Read the Bible.
Amen.
Where's Nuri? Nuri, where are you? Oh, say it in Spanish. Good. I would like to open this fellowship now concerning knowing, seeing, gaining God in the age of godliness, knowing God in the age of godlessness, knowing God in the age of godlessness. Okay. There's a verse, if you look down on your outline sheet, there's a verse in Roman numeral 2a, Habakkuk chapter 2, and it's on here. It's on here. And I want to read that verse first. So may we all read this together. You see, it is on here. It says, it's on here. I saw it. Okay, you see it down there? Habakkuk 2:14? Okay, please read that verse together. Please go.
For the earth will
Oh, whoa, whoa, where are the sisters? You don't have it? It says on the first column on Saturday. Saturday. Do you see it there? Okay, let's go collectively. Go. Okay, Paul and Bobby, read Isaiah 11, 9. This is Paul and Bobby. Listen, they will read Isaiah 11, 9. Okay, go, brothers. You got it? Go. Go together. Bobby, where are you? Okay, go. Have you noticed? Habakkuk says it. Isaiah says it. It must be important. Number one. Number two, it must come about. He's not going to repeat something, the Lord himself I'm speaking of, he's not going to repeat something that he's not going to carry out. The earth one day will be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah. How about today? How about today? So there is something that is counter or in opposition of these two verses being fulfilled or carried out. So we're going to get into that opposition. So we hope that you are very open, like I said in the beginning. And number two, we are just the messenger. Don't take offense with us, okay? I'm on your side. If you have a problem with what we are about to get into, because you can look at Roman numeral 1, and let me set the tone with this. Let's just read Roman numeral 1. Go. The world
today is full of darkness and wickedness. The primary reason is that man has fallen into not know God.
That's the primary reason, and we will get into Romans chapter 1, and we will read those verses, chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. We will read those, and we will read a lot of verses, so get yourselves ready, because we want the Word of God to speak to you, the living, operative Word of God to speak to you, so that you will not think that this is something that we generated out of ourselves for the college training. No, this is something that we will touch, this evilness, this wickedness, this matter of godlessness, has been prevailing on the earth from the time of Genesis chapter 3 till the present. And it needs to stop. And the area that it is invading invaded is your mind. My mind. And even tonight, I hope that my mind gets renewed a little bit more. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's read verse 1. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 1. Okay, I will read it. And I'm going to change amen to you all. Okay? You all should account of us in this way. We're merely servants of Christ. It says as servants of Christ. I'm adding. You can add to the word of God. In this sense, don't change it. Don't change the essence of it. So, amen, that's you all. And think of us, we're the servants of Christ. In this way, as stewards of the mysteries of God. What we are doing here tonight is we're opening the mystery of God, which is Christ, and the mystery of Christ, which is his organic body, the church, which will become his bride, that will enlarge into his kingdom, that will cause the kingdom of darkness to fade away. That's what we're doing. We are just here as servants to present to you the mysteries of God. Now, if you look at, I have another verse here, and I always wanted to, because I used to be able to memorize things, and I can't memorize anymore. That's bad. Okay. Now, I would like to read Roman numeral 1a. Let's read Roman numeral 1a. Go. Okay, this meeting in John chapter 20, verse 22, the Lord did something, and this is very familiar to all of us. He breathed. He exhaled. He exhaled into them, and he said, "Receive the Spirit." And what did they have to do? They had to inhale. Tonight, in order for you to understand that although mankind knew there was God, they tested and tried him, Eventually deciding not to hold him in their full knowledge. You need to, don't question this, just inhale God. This is an inhaling meeting. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so that means you have to, and I'm going to use this word, you have to turn off this gizmo. Turn off the mind. And bring forth, through inhaling, your mingled spirit.
Amen.
And let the Lord operate in your inward parts to change or to cause your thought to mirror his thought concerning godlessness in this age. Okay? Now, if you turn to Romans chapter, well, before we do that, let's look at the verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. And this verse basically says this: you're a slave. Now, my question to you is this: who do you choose to be a slave of? That's my question. No matter what you think, you are a slave. Either you are a slave to God, or you are a slave to the gods that are not by nature gods. That's Galatians 4:8. So tonight, I hope you make a choice. I choose to be a slave of God. That's my choice. I hope that's your choice. And I believe that is your choice. Okay, then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I would like to read those verses because it talks about the vengeance of God. So this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Well, let's concentrate on verse 8. Rendering vengeance, look at that, to those who do not know God. Dear saints, I want to know God. I do not want to be the object of his vengeance. And to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is going to be a reckoning for those who decide not to hold him in their full knowledge. Now, I want you to underline as I go through this, 1 through 6. Underline the word known or know. Righteous Father, 1, the world has not known you. John 17, 25. The world through its wisdom did not know you. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. Not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not, here it is again, know God. Therefore, knowing God, seeking God is critical. I hope you're impressed. Number 4, this is Judges chapter 2, who did not know Jehovah. You see where I jumped to? Okay. And all that generation as well were gathered to their fathers and another generation who did not know Jehovah. Okay, underline that. Number 5, for my people are foolish. Why? They do not know me. What is the source of foolishness? Not knowing God. That's why outside, when I say outside, I mean outside of we who are believers, outside of us, those who are unbelievers, they utter foolishness. Why? They don't know God. Number 6, they do not know me. Falsehood and not truth prevails in the land. Now look at that. For they proceed from evil to evil. And they do not, here it is again, know me. In this age, in this, you know, I like that song, in this godless age. You know that one? How's that go? Lord, you need some Samuels. In this godless age, Lord, you need a room full of Samuels. Okay. Now, what is the outstanding characteristic of this age? They don't know God. They cast off God. Romans chapter 1 is clear. But before we go there, I said we would go there. It just came to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll just cover this. There is a horrible situation that took place in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And what was that? That was incest. And the saints had no feeling about it. But Paul had a lot of feeling. What is the source of that? What is the source of that activity in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? That horrible, horrible situation by a brother. Not by an unbeliever, but by a brother. What is the source? Well, you have to go all the way back to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, there is an initial problem, which is the root of all the following problems. There's 10 after that one. And that is a matter of division. What is the source of division? The source of division is not being attuned in the same mind. It's not thinking the same thing. It's having your own opinion. I like Robert, I like Vern, I like Ted, I'm of Bobby, I'm of Paul. Division comes from the mind. The mind is related to the soul. The soul is the acting agent of who you are. The self is the acting agent of the soul, which is who you are. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. From the mind, you automatically, spontaneously, I wouldn't say instantaneously, but spontaneously move right into a expression of the flesh in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's why Paul says in Philippians 2:2, think the same thing. Think the same thing. And that's why he says, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:10, he says, be attuned in the same mind. Think the same thing. Pursue Christ. Knowing Christ and his cross in 1 Corinthians, but Christ, also Christ and his economy. Pursue knowing this. And then in Romans chapter 15, please write that verse down because I'm going to read it to you. Verse 5, this was a enlightening verse to me. 15:5 says this, now the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Be of the same mind. The Holy Spirit, especially throughout the New Testament, really accentuates, emphasizes this matter of the mind. Think the same thing. Think the one thing. Be of the same mind. Speak the same thing. Be attuned in the same mind. The mind, the mind, the mind. So Satan knows that. And so he comes in to, as we mentioned last night, to gain our mind. But we are not of those who are shrinking back. We are of those who are coming forward to fight this battle, to allow the Lord to gain our mind. Now, gain it in what area specifically? In Romans chapter 1. There is a horrible situation there. So horrible that the Lord had to give someone up. And he says it three times in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, 26, and 28. God gave them up. Okay, now, don't throw any tomatoes at me. But I want to touch this matter because it's prevailing in the world today. It's prevailing. And what is this? Whenever we are persons who give up knowing God, we are persons who live according to this age, And, you know, it's really interesting. In John chapter 17, the Lord prays, and he mentions the world, I counted it, 14 or 16 times. There's a mind behind the world. There's a mind behind the system. And that mind is trying to do something. It's trying to get you to be attuned to its mind. One of the major things that's going on there, and especially in, and we will look at some verses, in Romans chapter 1, is this matter of you can be with whoever you like. You know, in Oregon, is there anyone here from Oregon? Okay. In the state of Oregon, they have a legal law. It's a law. You can marry whoever you want. If you want to marry that pole, you can marry that pole. You can get a license. I want to marry Pole. Oh, dear Pole, I love you, so I'll marry you. And I'm not trying to be funny. It's true. That's what, in my state, in the state of Washington, Washington State, the two most liberal states in the United States are Washington and Oregon. They flip back and forth, one and two, who's the most liberal. And they are the two least churched states in the United States. I'll just tell you a quick funny story. I gotta watch this time. I had a friend, actually he called me today, and he was trying, I gave him a tract, he got saved, and then he was trying to preach the gospel with someone else. And he told this person, he said, and this is just typical of the mentality there in Washington, he said, yeah, I was reading the book of Hebrews. So the guy says to him, Hebrew. And he said it like this, so forgive my English. I done drunk a lot of brews, but I don't know if I ever drunk a Hebrew. What's a Hebrew? Yeah, that's what he said. That's how pitiful it is. And he looked at it and says, it's a book in the Bible, you know. You know, that's how pitiful it is. Yeah. Okay, so here, what characterizes the Lord's coming back, or the end of the age? In Luke chapter 17, you can read that chapter, it's in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, they were doing this, that, and this, that, planting, marriage, giving in marriage, I mean, marrying, giving in marriage, and so forth. But then it says this, in the days of Lot, also in the days of Lot. You notice that? And in the days of Lot, it doesn't say they were giving in marriage. Have you noticed that? Today, it's, oh, it's okay. You just live together and that prepares you for marriage. It doesn't prepare you for marriage. It prepares you for divorce. Oh, it's a, this Christian came over the radio. I was listening to the Christian radio. And she said, and she it was a female. She said exactly that. And she doesn't even meet with us. She says, living together prepares you for divorce. That's what she said. Anyway, in Lot, it doesn't say that. Now, there are a lot of verses concerning this untastefulness, this lawlessness, this perverseness, this evil, this wicked activity. And so I would like to read some of those, I would like us to read some of those verses together, because the issue of not, of entering into this activity and having your mind captured by this kind of satanic thought is not knowing God. Dear saints, I hope you have the willingness to know God. Okay, in Genesis chapter 6, which began this perverseness, and that is spoken of in Jude 7. I think you know this. Do you know this? The perverseness that the angelic angels initiated in taking the forms of men and then taking wives of human wives started this matter of, and now I'm going to say it, homosexuality. Now I'm going to say it. And it has just progressed to the point where we are today. It is, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. It's horrible. And now, I mean, you know, little kids. Oh, it's okay if you wear pink. And there's a school in San Francisco and I think it's third grade on up or something like this, they encourage the boys to wear everything that girls wear, and they encourage the girls to wear everything boys wear. This is in San Francisco. Way to go, Satan. But he's getting thrown out.
Amen.
He's getting thrown into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm so happy.
Amen.
I'm not worried. Okay, I would like to read some verses. Okay, please turn to I'm going to read Jude. I want to jump to Jude because it refers to, and I want to read it out of this version. Then we'll go to Leviticus. And please write these verses down in case you don't have them. This is Jude 7. Jude 7. This version is, I wanted to read it out of the Amplified. So this version is out of the Amplified. Okay? It says this. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent towns, which likewise gave themselves over to impurity and indulged in unnatural vice and sensual perversity, are laid out in plain sight as an exhibit of perpetual punishment to warn of everlasting fire, the wicked, to everlasting fire, the wicked are sentenced to suffer. That's Jude 7, referring to Genesis chapter 6. The Lord is clear concerning this matter. I don't care what the world says. I care what the Word of God says. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18. And my two brothers will read again. This is, please stand and read these verses. This is Leviticus 18, verse 22. And I intentionally skipped because we are all familiar with Genesis 19. So I don't need to read those verses. Is that right? Is that okay? I think we're all familiar with Sodom and Gomorrah, why it was destroyed. Okay, so that's Genesis 19. You can write that down, specifically verse 7, but you know, or 4 through 10, but anyway, I skipped that intentionally. And I've jumped to Leviticus 18, 22. Go.
You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a woman. It is an abomination.
Okay. I think that's clear. Okay. Don't sit down, brothers. Turn to chapter 20, verse 13. In case you didn't get it, in the Levitical regulations for priests, and everyone who is a believer is a priest. So this refers to all of us. Okay, this is chapter 20, verse 13.
If there is a man who lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them.
Okay, now, that's Leviticus. Let's keep going in the Old Testament. Turn to Judges chapter 19. This is Judges 19. And I hope you're writing these verses down, not so that you can argue with someone who is of this lifestyle, because we are not haters. We love humanity.
Amen.
Humanity was created not to get involved in this, but to contain God. Not just to contain God, but to express God.
Amen.
That's why we were created.
Amen.
And we were created as slaves.
Amen.
Don't think you're not. Slave to either Satan or to God. There's no neutral ground. There's no end, there's no middle. I hate middle seats. Okay. You're on Judges 19? Okay. I forgot the verse. 19:22. Write that down. Judges 19:22.
And while they were making their hearts merry, the men of the city.
Pick that up. The men of the city.
Worthless.
So. Anyone who indulges in this kind of activity is worthless. Anyone who indulges in this kind of activity, please forgive me. But we're going to read a verse that will have these two words. They are a fool and a stupid. And I'll show it to you in the Bible. Don't throw anything. I'll show it to you. Okay? Continue your reading, brothers.
Surrounded the house, beating on the door, and they spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who went into your house, that we may know him."
In other words, that we may be intimate with him like a woman, like with a woman. And they're beating on the door. It's not like, can we come in? It goes, "Bring him out! Bring him out!" You see? It's like that. Beating on the door. Dear saints, that's what's going on outside. I'll come back to you, brother. Thanks. That's what's going on. It's almost like, do you know the word rapacious? Rapacious means you're greedy. You're lustful for profit. But it means like a predatory kind of greed. Gotta have it. It's like that. Dear saints. And everyone is strong to tell you it's okay. Well, we're here to tell you, in light of the economy of God, it is not okay.
Amen.
We're stewards. And we have an obligation to you, and you have an obligation to us. And that is to, together, declare it's not okay.
Amen.
This perverseness, this wickedness, this evil is not okay. And it is going to bring in the Lord's judgment. Let's read on. Let's read on. Turn to Psalm chapter 10. My brothers, can you stand up again, please? This is Psalms 10. And this is verse 3. Go.
"For the wicked man boasts of the desire of his soul, and the rapacious man curses, even despises Jehovah."
This is a word of God. Okay, turn to, continue with verse 4.
"The wicked man, according to the haughtiness of his countenance, says he will not require it. And all his thoughts are this: there is no God."
There is God. There is God.
Amen.
There is God.
Amen.
We have to declare that. Don't sit down, brothers. One more. And that is verse 6. This is 10:6. Go. He will have trouble. Those who practice these things, again, we love the vessels, but we hate the practice. We hate the practice. We hate the sin. Shall we share the gospel to them? Yes. Shall we hang out? Okay, brothers, thanks. Shall we hang out with them? No. Because they will affect you before you can affect them. Hands down. Don't say, I hope your mind is not engaged. I hope your spirit is still engaged. Keep inhaling. The Lord didn't just breathe once in John 20:26. He's breathing. He's exhaling. I hope you are inhaling. Don't let your mind kick in. Say, mind, be still. Okay, brothers, this is Psalm 14. Please, and I think it's on your verse sheet. But anyway, Psalm 14. Okay, verse 1. This is where I got the word.
"The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They commit abominable deeds. There is none who does good."
Now, verse 2. Verse 3.
"They have all turned aside. They are together perverse.
God is a God of love. Thanks, brothers. You'll stand up again, but not right now. God is a God of love. He loves everybody, and it's okay. No, it's not okay. No, it's not okay. Okay, now, let's go to Romans chapter 1, and we'll come back to some verses in song. But now, let's get into the meat of why God gives you up. Okay, let's get into the meat of it. Okay, let's read Romans together, everyone. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll begin with the brothers, and let's alternate. And as you are reading, brothers, or saints, I will stop you to insert some things. Is that okay? I'll say, no, don't think I'm going to stop where you think I'm going to stop. Just wait for me to tell you to stop. Okay? Okay, Romans 1, 18, brothers, go. The truth here is concerning the gospel, concerning faith, but the truth here is also a person. And that truth, the reason they hold it down is because they are in bondage. And because in John chapter 8, the truth, you'll know him. You'll know him. Don't think that the truth is just doctrine. The truth is a living person. John 8, 32 and 36 are clear. And if you know the truth, then you will be set free from the satanic thought, the evil thought of this age, the perverseness that is prevailing among us. So that's the truth. Now, sisters, verse 19. Okay, the invisible things, brothers. Aha. Oh, okay, let's go on. Verse 21, sisters, I'm going to stop you. Go. They knew that there's a God. They knew it. You know, and deep down, well, there are so many who profess to be Christians that are practicing this depravity, this homosexual lifestyle, and now it's things like transgender. I don't understand that. I mean, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned. No, I'm not old-fashioned. It's godless. That's right. So that's why I don't understand it. It's godless. There's no God in that activity. You know, so they hold down the truth. But they knew. They knew there was a God. But they decided. And this is the point. Decide or choose whose slave you will be. You have the right. Choose whose slave you will be. And so they knew God. They knew God, but they held down the truth. Okay, continue on, sisters. Didn't glorify, didn't thank, then darkness came in. Glorify the Lord in your body. In other words, manifest the Lord. And thank him for everything. Thank him for all things. Thank him that you have a lot of money. Thank him that you have no money. Thank him that you failed that test. Thank him that you aced that test. Thank him that you graduated at the top of the class. Thank him that you graduated at the bottom of the class. Thank him that you went to see that sister and she rejected you. You know, when you're ready to get married. Not now. Not now, brothers. You know, but at the appropriate time. Thank him. They didn't. So what? They became darkened, and they lacked understanding and was darkened. Okay, here it is again. Here's that word again. Professing to be wise, these ones became fools. Okay, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image. So they got into idolatry. Giving up God brings you into worshiping idols. Worshiping idols means, exactly this. The next step is fornication. Fornication damages your body. It brings in confusion. Now, I don't know, you know, I know David, I know Vinu, I know a lot of you, some of you, but I don't, the majority of you I do not know, so I can say this in all purity and simplicity. You know, if you have failed in this area, it's not the end. Confess, reject, and go on as if it never happened. In Hebrews, God has selective amnesia. Once you confess. So if you failed, I don't, in this area, then don't worry about it. Confess and then go on. His sins are behind our back. His back. It's not his sins. Our sins are behind his back. I'm so sorry. Our sins are behind his back. And you know where they are? I think Micah says, I think it's 7:19, says they're in the depths of the sea. What is the deepest part of the sea? There's Mariana's Trench, or Stench, or Trench, or something. Mariana's Trench. How deep is the Mariana's Trench? Do you, anyone know? Yeah, deep enough, but how deep? Say it. Yeah, it's quite deep. Well, how deep? It's about 37,000 feet, somewhere in there. About 37,000 feet deep. That's where your sins are. Hallelujah. And you know what happens to your sins down there? You know what happens if you go down there? They don't explode, they implode. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, we have to come back. Then here's the first example, first time of God giving them up. Verse 24, brothers.
Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to uncleanness, so that they dishonor their bodies among themselves.
Ah, uncleanness, passions of lust, disapproved mind. These are three aspects of God giving them up, and we'll see that in 26 and 28 also. Here in this verse, it's uncleanness. It's 25, sisters. And just a little aspect of the footnote on truth there, which I already mentioned, but I want you to see it's in the footnote. The truth of God is the reality of God. God is true and real. What he is a reality. But the idols are false. Whatever they are is a lie. Okay, so here's the second giving up. Brothers, therefore. When this happens, God says, okay, you're on your own. Now, you know, some of you may know those who practice this kind of lifestyle, who practice this kind of perversity, who practice this kind of depravity, LGBT or BGT or what is it? They keep adding. I don't know what it is now. It's perverseness. LGBTQ. It's godless. It's godless. So at that point, you may think they're nice people, they're great people, and you know, a lot of them are nice. They're nice. You know, I'm not saying they're evil in the sense where when you interact with them, they don't argue with you unless you touch this matter. You touch this matter, then you've got an atom bomb on your hands. But then, it's really interesting, they are strong to tell you about how this is good, this is, and the newspapers and everything is all for this. And you say, okay, I'm for God. Oh, you can't talk about that. Don't talk about that. We can't have that in the schools. Separation of church and state. Really? Really? Okay, okay. Then let's separate you out too, or your activity. How about that? Let's pray. Let's pray in school. No. Okay. This is ugly. It's ugly. Okay. God gave them up. Now look at 27. Go. My goodness. I don't know what's clearer than that. There's no need to say anything. They did it, and now they're getting their wages. It's due. The retribution of their error, which was due. So, we're just reading the Bible. And I'm going to stop with the verses right now. I'll just give them to you, the verse reference. Please look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, those verses. Please look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And I already gave you Jude 7, and I skipped over Genesis 19. And then I'm missing one, and my mind won't pull it up, so I'm very sorry, but it'll come back to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And then 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses, 1 Timothy 1, 10. And then on this matter of fornication, which is prevailing. Okay, so everyone is focusing so much on, you know, this perverseness in homosexuality, transgender, you know, this and that, this and that, this depravity, that don't forget about fornication. Fornication is not acceptable in the Bible. Adultery is you stray out of your marriage. Fornication is you're not married and you are intimate with someone else, intimate with a female of the opposite. You're intimate with someone of the opposite sex. Don't forget that also. Paul speaks a lot about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5, I believe. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 3 or 4 or 5, somewhere there. Matthew 19, the Lord is clear. The word of God is clear. This uncleanness has to be rooted out. Okay, now, I need to go on. I want to say more, but if I do, then I'll miss the rest of the outline. And where's the other part of my outline? Oh, here. Okay. Now, we need to see the source of wickedness, and we were just reading that, and we didn't finish our reading, so let's finish our reading. Let's jump down to verse 32, and I will read it. This is Romans 1, 32. Who, though, fully knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death. That's pretty strong. I'm just reading the Bible. Not only do them, but also have fellow delight in those who practice them. We're talking about those who practice. Can they be cured? Can they get saved? Okay, we're not talking about that. It's okay. Yeah, and I don't want to spend time talking about that, so you talk about it if you want to talk about it, if you want to ask, if you're curious, but don't let your curiosity eat you up. But if you're curious, talk to the brothers afterwards. We can't take time now. However, we're just focusing on the big picture, that this is something that is invading, that has taken over the world and is invading the church life. Don't be deceived. If you have friends that are practicing this, don't cut them off as a friend. Cut them off cut off hanging out with them. You can be a friend at the distance, and you can ask them to get saved. If they don't want to get saved, then why are you wasting your time? Okay, anyway. B, we need to see the source of wickedness, and we just read those verses. The first element in the source of wickedness is holding down the truth and unrighteousness. We said this from the very beginning. Mankind, and this goes back to Genesis, did not respect the reality of God, but suppressed it. They did not care for this reality and refused to. So this is all on what we read. So if it's okay, I would just like to skip down to number 5. And number 5 says, the result of giving up God is being given up by God. Listen, and having fornication, confusion in order. Fornication brings in confusion. Okay, Roman numeral 2, on the earth today, God needs, hallelujah,
amen.
God needs,
amen.
God has a need,
amen.
And his need is those who would know him.
Amen.
Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God, what, will show strength, and do what? Tonight, I hope all of you take action.
Amen.
Now, don't go out there and say, you homosexual. Da-da-da-da-da. Don't do that. But decide inwardly, I want to know God.
Amen.
And I don't want to be a part of this perverse generation. I want to shine, Philippians, as a luminary in this darkened age. I give myself to the Lord. Okay, God delights in our knowing him. He wants us, Roman numeral 2. He wants us to pursue knowing Jehovah. Let's read Hosea 6:6, and we read Habakkuk 2:14 already. Okay, go. Do you have Hosea 6:6? Okay, my brothers, please, quickly, go. This is Hosea 6:6.
For I delight in loving kindness.
I delight.
And not
sacrifice. Hallelujah. I hope this becomes our testimony if it isn't already. I delight in the knowledge of God. Okay, remain standing, brothers. I would like you to read Psalms 103:7. But let me say this while you're finding it. There are two kinds of knowledge of God, the outward and the inward. You know, the outward knowledge and the inward knowledge. For time, I'm going to skip words, okay? For time's sake. To know the doings and ways of God are both knowledge. To know the doings and ways of God are both knowledge of an outward nature. Moses knew God's acts. The children of Israel knew God's acts, and Moses knew God's ways. There is a life study I will recommend to you. To open this point a little bit further, it's the life study of Revelation number 49. I don't have time to read that portion to you, so I just commit this to your study and reading. Okay, brothers, read Psalm 103:7.
He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel.
Okay, now you can sit for a second, brothers, and you will come back. Okay, to know God himself is knowledge of an inward kind because he dwells in you. This kind of knowledge comes as we, what? Touch God himself by his life within and thereby know him in a, what? Subjective, inward way. Vern was asking me a question, you know, and he says, what's the difference between knowing God and believing that God is? Is that right? So Vern will tell you tomorrow night. We can know God through his creation. The trees testify that there's a God. The universe is proof of God's existence, number one, C1, and manifestation of God's glory. The greatness of the universe manifests the greatness of God, and I really like that one. But yeah, my time is up. Okay. The wonder of the universe manifests how wonderful God is, Psalm 139. The brightness of the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, declares that God is a God of light. Oh, I like that one. Jeremiah 31. Please read those verses. The beauty of the universe. I think this is Ecclesiastes. Is it Ecclesiastes 3? Yes. Ecclesiastes 3:11a. God's arrangement and preparation of the universe for mankind and his provision for man's, I'm on number six, and his provision for man's every need show God's loving kindness toward men. And there's a verse, oh, okay. Psalm, brothers, Psalm 104:13-15. Now remember I said I'll give you two words. I think the second word is here. First word is fools. If you give up God or hold down the truth, you're a fool. And then it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I think this is the second word. I'm not sure. Go.
He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. More than a half hour. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herbage for man's use, that he may bring forth food from the earth, even wine that cheers man's heart, oil that makes his face shine, and bread that sustains man's heart.
So sit back, relax. All your needs are taken care of. Is that right? That's those verses, right? Yeah. So don't worry about any, you know, in Matthew, thanks brothers. In Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all the other things that you need will be added to you. Not that you want, what you need. Be clear. Oh, you ask me what I want? I want my knee to stop hurting. Do I need it to stop hurting? No. Do I want it to stop hurting? Yeah. Do you want a car? A Beamer. Yeah. Do you need a Beamer? No. Cars are for transportation, not adoration. How do you know if you're really in love with your car? Because you wash it, then you walk away from it, and then you go. Then you know. I'm captured. All these other things will be added to you. Can I give you one more story? Is that okay? Okay. So in 1994... the brothers came to me, and they said, Willie, we're going to add on to our meeting hall, and we want you to kind of head it up. Well, you know, I know a little carpentry, but I'm not great, but I can do some things. And the brother who really knows, you know, I was actually his supervisor, but he still knows much more than I do. Anyway, the brothers asked me, well, I didn't have a job, and I had three kids. No. At home, I had four kids. No, sorry, the old cash had left, so I had three. So I had three kids at home, and the brother said, can you not work and head this up? So I said, well, yeah, okay. So I thought it'd be for 6 months, and it ended up being for 18 months. So I had no job. And so I didn't know what to do. And of course, the brothers, you know, they are very gracious. And they helped me. And so I thought, oh, thank you. But the more they helped me, the worse I had a tax problem. So I thought, oh, what am I going to do? So finally, the brothers released me. I went, the brother said, you can go get a job. I said, okay. So I went, the Lord closed every door. I said, I can't even get a job now. And the people that wanted me to work, they didn't have any more work for me because I went back to see them right away. I said, yeah, I'm ready. They said, sorry, we don't have any more work. So I thought, oh, okay. So then I thought, well, what am I going to do? Well, I know he provides. This is just to encourage you. You can trust in the Lord. Amen. Okay, so I went to get one job. Sorry. Went to get another job. Sorry. And I didn't want to go back to this other job that I had previously. And so I went back to that job anyway, and they said, yeah, come. I thought, oh. In 1999, the brothers came to me and asked me to go to the Philippines. And so I asked my job. I got the job. I was three years on the job, and I said, hey, I need to go to the Philippines for 2 weeks. They said, okay, you can go for 2 weeks. Then the brothers asked me to go back the next year. Then they asked me to go back the next year. Then they start asking me to go twice a year. So now I need 6 weeks off. So finally in 2007, I went to my boss and my supervisor and I said, hey, I got to quit. I don't want you to quit. What do I have to do? I said, well, I just need to go on my missionary trips. And he goes, okay, you can leave whenever you want. Just do what you want. So from 2007 until I retired in 2015, I could travel. I could go anywhere as if I was full time. When I got back, my job was there. The Lord can take care of you. So then I had a Haman, you know, in Ruth, Esther, you know Haman. You know Haman. So I had a Haman there. So he comes to me, and he says, from now on, we're not going to allow you to go on your trips, and you're going to have to talk and go through me. I said, okay. I didn't say a word. I said, okay. Oh. I go to the owner, and he wanted to ask me about some new products, and because, you know, they trust my evaluation. And he's asking me, well, Willie, what do you think about this, and this? You know, I'm afraid this is the way of the industry for the future, and so forth. I said, okay. I said, oh, by the way, his name's Don, he's an Italian, and he's Catholic. And so, you know, they're so outward, you know. Anyway, he loves that I was going on these trips. I said, oh, by the way, Don, you know, I have these trips lined up. And he says, well, when are you going, Willie? I said, well, you know, and I told him. And he says, okay, send me an email of all your trips. I'm sure you've got some already lined up, but we're busy. I said, okay. I sent him an email. He didn't respond. I thought, well, amen, Lord. Amen. No more traveling. I'm at work, and my immediate supervisor calls me, and he says, he was asking me about how he was doing, and I was asking him the same. And then he says, oh, did you hear what happened to Haman? He doesn't know his name is Haman. I'm just telling you this. I mean, he doesn't know I call him Haman. I can't remember his name. Doug. So he says, did you hear what happened to Doug? I said, no, what? He said, Don, that's the owner, chewed him out and said, you leave Willie alone. He can leave whenever he wants. The Lord will take care of you. Trust the Lord. And I'm nobody. He will take care of you. I'm living proof. And he wouldn't let Haman bother me anymore until I retired. And Haman, he hated me. Okay, letter D. The Holy Spirit within us enables us to know God inwardly. Oh, I really like this. In those chapters in John 14, 15, and 16 are really critical in our inwardly knowing the Lord. The Lord says, if I don't go away, I can't come. You know these verses. And so when the Lord comes, he comes as the Comforter or the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And the Holy Spirit has one job, and that is to bring you into the glory that was his glory that he prayed for in John chapter 17, verse 3. In John 17. And this is a glory that the world doesn't know. Those ones who are practicing those things in Romans chapter 1, they don't know this glory, but you know it. And it is a freeing glory. The more you enter into glory, the more that the Lord, you allow the Lord to move in you, the more he just paints you with himself. Oh, it is glory. It is freedom. There is no anxiety. My. It's freedom untold. Dear saints, who's really in bondage? Those ones in Romans chapter 1. They are really in bondage. Don't let them bend your mind. Don't believe what you see in the papers. Don't believe what the professors say on this campus or whatever campus, U of H, Rice, wherever you are. Don't let them say. They have one agenda. And I'll tell you what, at the University of Washington, Rachel, what I almost called you, you know. At the University of Washington, what they said to Kenton, my son, the professor says, who in here is a Christian? There's a professor at University of Washington in Seattle. He said, who in here is a Christian? And a lot of them sheepishly raised their hands. And he said, after 4 years in this institution, you won't be. He said, then he said this, I've made my peace with the man downstairs. He said this. He said this. And he shook Kenton. He shook Kenton, my son. And he came home. I said, don't believe that. That's a satanic lie. Believe the Bible.
Amen.
Believe the indwelling spirit.
Amen.
Read John 14, 15, and 16 again.
Amen.
Especially John 15, the vine. Oh, you know, what fruit comes out of the vine so easily, so simply by what? You abiding. Don't, you know, you're going out to preach the gospel tomorrow. Don't get stressed out. Don't try anything. Just abide.
Amen.
Then there's a natural, I don't like that word. There's a normal. There's a normal issue tomorrow. So you go and you're just abiding in the Lord. I don't know, you know, I'm sure on this campus the same, but at my job, I'm retired now, but at my job, when I was there, there's a guy, he's about this tall. He's tatted up. Now, if any of you have tattoos, I don't know it, I can't see it, and I, you know, that's between you and the Lord or you and whoever, you know, you know, humanly, I have nothing to say. Well, I will say this. The Bible says something. The Bible does. But anyway, he's all tatted up and everything, and he's got a piercing on his tongue, and he has this helmet that the those in Germany used to wear when they rode the motorcycles. He's got this big Harley, you know, real loud. And so and everybody's afraid of him. He loves to fight. He's just, you know, he comes home, he comes to the work, and he's got a bruise. I said, what happened, Darren? He goes, oh, I got in a fight. Why? Oh, well, I got him. I said, really? So you got him, but look at the big bruise on your face. Yeah, well, you know, he got me a good one. You know. Well, what kind of mentality is that? Anyway, so he goes, he asked me about God. Can you talk to Darren? If he walked up here, and he always wears a tank top. Of course, it's not always hot in. You see all these tattoos, and here he has his wife's name, W-E-N-D-Y, Wendy. And then here he has, I forget what letters are here, all over. If Darren came up to you tomorrow, would you preach the gospel to him? Would you sisters preach the gospel to him? You will if you abide in the vine.
Amen.
There's a spontaneous outflow.
Amen.
And you don't see tattoos, you don't see piercings, you don't see anything else. You just flow out. Following the death and resurrection, number one, of Christ, God came as a spirit, and I said this, to enter into man, mingle with man, and be obtained by man. He went through this process in order to have a close, underline that, personal relationship with man, and to be man's life, salvation, and everything. The spirit is the realization of God. Underline that. The spirit is the realization of God. God is in Christ. Christ is the embodiment. Colossians is clear. And the triune God is realized as the spirit who enters into you, not merely God, not merely Christ, but the Spirit, who is the reality of the triune God himself. That you need to keep in a good, compartmentalize that, where you can always pull it up. And we can touch God with this Spirit. If we want to know God, we must exercise. The growth of our spiritual life depends on our knowledge of God. This is letter E. The more we know him, the more we will experience him as our life. Enjoy him, allow him to live out through us. Okay, let's all read letter F.
If we truly know God, the whole world's unbelief will not shake us.
Now, notice I said the whole world, and last night I said the whole world lies in the evil one. Here's my confirmation. The whole world's unbelief won't bother us. Okay, continue. We sisters. Brothers.
I know God inwardly.
Very good. Okay, now, read the next point. It's very critical.
My knowledge is deeper than my mind. My knowledge is deeper than my feelings.
Sorry, you got ahead of me. That point, I would like the sisters to read. My mind is deeper than my feelings. Go ahead, sisters. Now, you have to excuse me, but sisters, I don't feel like it. A few days ago, my dear wife, Rachel Rosalind, she says to me, "You don't love me. You don't like me." Yeah, I do. I told you last year. Well, it doesn't feel like it. My knowledge is nothing outward can shake the inward knowledge of mine. Hallelujah. Now I would like to end with this, and I'm going back to my burden. You know, the Lord needs overcomers. True? Yes. Okay. And we all in here, and I'm going to speak for you, we all want to be overcomers. The Lord needs a beachhead to come back to the earth, and the overcomers are that beachhead.
Amen.
Of course, the beachhead is in our spirit, so the overcomers are ones who live in their spirit,
Amen.
Who exercise their spirit,
Amen.
Who call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, my question to you is this. Do you want to be an overcomer?
Amen.
Okay, here is the secret. In 1980, I want to say 81, 80, a brother told me this. He said, "Willie, if you want to be an overcomer, read the life studies." Okay. It was Ted's father. It was Ted and Hallie's father who told me that in 1980 or 79, one of those years. Yeah. Sorry to say, and I should have asked Ted to speak this little portion, but just because of time, I'll paraphrase it. Is that okay? Yeah. Ted said this. No, you share it about, you know, I don't want to. Okay. Okay, Ted shared this about a brother told him, too often, this is for us brothers, and he said this convicted him within. And I said to myself, whoa, that's what I do. And when Ted said it, it convicted me, and because that's what I did. He said, too often, brothers, we take the life studies and the ministry, especially the up-to-date ministry, and especially the crystallization studies, we take them as a reference point or book. When we need to get into something, as you know, sharing something, or there's a home meeting, then we go reference life study number 30 of Micah, or life study number what, or the crystallization study that we just reviewed, we just had on Ezekiel. We use it as a reference book, but we don't get in and read. Dear saints, that's what I did until 2015. And now, I just read. I hope that you pick up this burden. Don't reference this, that, or the other. Read it. And like I said last night, do not worry about whether you remember anything or not. The Lord will have a way to bring it back up in your being. But he doesn't have a way if you don't read, if you don't cooperate. This is the age of incarnation. We have to cooperate with the Lord. So, dear saints, the way I began last night, I end tonight. Read the Bible.
Amen.
Read the ministry.
Amen.
Read the up-to-date ministry.
Amen.
Focus your being on the life studies. And all the ministry books. Oh, it's so daunting. Yeah, it is. No, it isn't. Just read a paragraph a day. If you can't read a whole chapter, if you can't read two or three chapters, just read a paragraph a day. Just read a little bit. Okay. I'm gonna stop here. Amen.